Miss Gardner, welcome. Man, it just seems like I'm fresh here tonight. I haven't been here for quite some time, so y'all have to bear with me, but I'm a little excited. All right, well, we're moving along with this. We're already Torah portion 44, Devil Reign, brand new book. I tell you, so powerful. There's so much information, so much to learn out of it. Man, I just, as I was going through it, there's so much information. And like Father said, we do leave a lot on the table. Even after tonight, there's still going to be stuff we haven't touched. And before you, you know, by the time you go home, next thing you know, you're on the next chapter, starting in chapter 4, I believe. So, let's get move on. Devarim is Hebrew for things or words. And the reading was found in Deuteronomy 1:1-3:22, and the Haftorah with Isaiah 1-27. And look, we do the Haftorah at home. Hopefully you do it at home. That's more information. So don't really feel like it's a lot, which it really is, but don't be overwhelmed by it. Because he said, my word, what I have, it's not burdensome, but it's just, you should always have enough for every day. That's why we divide up these portions. Can you imagine we had it all at one time? We couldn't, like I read up from Midrash. If everything that was said and Yeshua did and taught, the world, God said, I wouldn't believe the world wouldn't even be able to contain it. Mm. So, there's so much information. We're going to do the best we can with what we have to get through it and keep on chugging along. This is slide 15. We're going to look through a couple slides. And, you know, I'm going to look at some words that's very important and stuff we're going to look at. First, we're going to get on the Master's words. Because he says, these words are not my words, they're the Father's words.
Amen.
So we're going to make sure that we're saying what he's saying, because if not, I'm going to show you the scripture where he said something, and right when he said something direct, the ring of word that they said direct, they said something different. And we're going to look at that. So this is slide 15. And let's go through, I know some of you should have read it, but I just want to go back and look at the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
It said the fifth book of the Torah is called Devarim, which is the plural of the root word devar, Strong 1697, which means speech, word, commandment, chronicles, message, which in its primitive root form, devar, Strong 1697, means to speak, command, counsel, declare, proclaim, converse, warn, threaten, promise. Mm. All these things are in Devarim. All these things that we look at these definitions, Yeshua was a part of. Either he spoke it, he warned, he gave everything. He didn't hold nothing back. I can tell you that. So, 16, 15, 16, and 17, we're going to read these three. Devarim, Deuteronomy, is often understood as the powerhouse that holds the vision and mandate that we have in Yeshua Messiah. You know, he's given us that power and mandate to do what? To make disciples?
Mm-hmm.
To go into all the world and preach the gospel? I mean, that's the instruction he left us with. He mm-hmm. left us his words, his instruction, the word of the Father, for us to follow. We who choose to walk in and obey the words of Jehovah that we hear, guard, and do, find that it becomes a place of anointing, righteousness, and empowerment. And it's like the mantle of anointing and responsibility that Eliyahu passed on to Elisha. The word of Elohim, which includes the complete collection of all his instructions as contained throughout the scriptures, is that which washes us, teaches us, and trains us in righteousness. How many know we need to be trained? That's what we aim to do here every week. And we're going to continue to do it till he returns. We'll be trained. That's why. That's what he said for us to do. He said for us to do something different. So I'm going to go back and say it again, like I always say. Yeshua said, if you don't pay attention to what Moshe wrote, how are you going to pay attention to my word? You won't even understand my words unless you go back and read with Moshe, because he wrote about me.
That's right.
What he said. in Timothy 8, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is breathed out by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight, for instruction in righteousness, for that instruction right, that the man of Elohim might be fitted, equipped for every good work. I mean, you know, we have everything we need. It's right here. It's with us. It's on your phone. It's on your pad, your iPad, your computer. We have no excuses. It's everywhere you go. Why? Because we're going to meet some of these matters. Because some of these matters need to be reproved. Some of these matters need to be set straight. For what? To be the perfect man. Now, you might not be perfect in the eyes of whoever down the street, but in his eyes. You're a perfect man. When you obey his word, that's what he asked of us.
That's right.
As we consider this word, Devarim, the plural of the word Devar, Strong 16:9-7, in the ancient pictograph script, we're able to recognize the importance of the word of Elohim and how it is his word that equips and prepares us as his ready bride. This is what we're preparing for. One day we prepare to meet the groom. And we're going to be the bride. He wants a bride that's obeying. He wants a bride that's doing what he asked her to be waiting, expecting when he comes.
Engaged. Engaged.
Let's look at slide 32. Got a couple of these I want to read, and we're gonna look at some words here. If we can firmly grasp the need for us to walk fully in and obey the Torah in spirit and in truth, then we will be better equipped by this powerhouse book of words as given by Yehovah to us as the children of Israel through Moshe. And we know that that's where it started from. So it goes through Moshe. He's the author of the first five books. But it's Yehovah's words. And so what he does, he instructed Moshe, and Moshe passed it down, instructed Joshua, and to where we are today, we have those same instructions. This hasn't changed. We just have to follow it. And do our best to study it out, read it, take our time. But trouble, this stuff takes time.
That's right.
We got 500 plus slides. I didn't even make it 200. Because the time you sit there and read every word and check every definition of what it really means, because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. But it takes time. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff, so don't look at it like overbearing and weighted down. This just takes time. It's just enough information for you. If you're a speed reader, then you'll breeze through it. But I find when you read slow, you'll see it for what it is. Slide 106. And look at the old slide that we have. This is a good refresher. Yaakov and James 1:22-25, and become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. But he that looks into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of work, this one shall be blessed in his doing of the Torah. What a powerful scripture. You know, because look, we all go to the mirror. We have to. Some of us spend a little more extra time than others. But look, it don't take too long. Well, look, you still have to go in front of the mirror. And that's what the mirror in the script, when we look at, that's what the label is for. Man, the priest went in, they got to see themselves. After slaughtering all the animals. This is all stuff we learn. So now when this language speaks to us, we already know my mind already goes back to the labor.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a whole other message on its own.
Yeah.
Which we're not going to, look, before you know, we're going to be on that stuff again. So it's coming around quick. But let's go to a story. And let's look at the words of our master. we're going to look at, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 22. I almost spilled the beans for Midrash when I got onto this, but I had to refrain myself there like Pastor. If you want to spill it out, you really don't love. Luke 22, starting at verse 24. And here we see a situation. We need to look at the master's words carefully. And we're going to see a situation right here where Yeshua is letting them know that he's about to die. They're having our last supper. They're having a Passover meal. And you're going to see this right here. In Luke 22:24, and there also took place a dispute among them. Now can you imagine being right there with the master, and there's a dispute going on as to which of them seemed to be greater, really. And he said to them, the sovereigns of the nations rule over them, and those who control them are called workers of good. But did we just not read that just change? How we got to be have good works? But not so with you. For let him who is greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits at the table? But I am in your midst as one who serves. Now he's letting them know right there that this is what the world thinks. Who's the greatest? I'm about to die here. I'm spending my last few hours with you. And here y'all want to dispute on who's greater. He said that's the flesh thinking. And we talked about the flesh over the weekend. But he's letting them know that, look, the greatest one among you is the one who serves. And am I not the greatest one here at the table? And yet I'm here as a servant. And this is what he asks from all of us. You know, we hit the train and make disciples. It's not about who's greater.
That's right.
It's about being as a servant.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
You want to help your community? You want to help your children? Be a servant. Be a servant unto him, to the word. That's reflecting him.
That's right.
That's looking like him. Mm. So this is what the dispute is going on. And that really caught my attention. That amazed me that this was happening at this time. He said, but you are those who have remained with me in my trials. How many of you know there's some trials out there that we're going to go through, that we got to remain in him?
That's right.
No, I wrote it down. Matter of fact, it's in the book of John, chapter 11, verses 7, 8, and 16. Just hold your place right there. Let's look at that. Let's look at the trial, what we're talking about right here. This is his talking. And after this, he said to his talking, let us go back to Yehuda. What? Go back to Yehuda? What? We're about to get it. And the talking said to him, Rabbi, the Yehudim were but now seeking to stone you. And you going back there? Trial that you're going to go through with the master. They want to stone the master, they're going to stone you too. If they did it to him, they'll do it to you. This is no surprise. So I like what Thomas says in verse 16. He said, Thomas, who's called twin, then said to his fellow taught ones, let us go so that we die with him. That's the attitude he's looking for. If you're going to go with him, you're going to go with him in trial. And it's just what it is. Or you're going to get to the part of the story back over here in Luke. If we get to that. Oh, we got some good stuff to get to tonight. He says, but you are those who have remained with me in my trials. And I covenanted for you. We learned about covenant. As my father covenanted for me a ring to eat and drink at my table in my reign, and to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Hallelujah.
He said, I've covenanted for you.
Thank you.
And I mean, that covenant still stands today. He's covenant for us also. Thank if not, you, what are we doing here?
Hallelujah.
That's right.
I believe that covenant still stands.
Mm-hmm.
And the master said, verse 31, this is when it starts getting interesting. Shimon, Shimon, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. I wonder if Satan's asked for any of us tonight. We in here, standing firm upon his words. Trust me, you're being asked for. Your life is demanding. Sift is G4617. I listened to it a few times when I tell you them Greek words.
It's okay.
They still get you by surprise.
It's okay.
It's
get to the point.
Siniago. I think that's pretty close.
Sift.
It means to sift, shake in a sieve, or figurative by inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. He wants to sift you tonight. You think he's going to stop because you're here on a Wednesday night or because we come on Shabbat? He's out there every day.
Yep.
He's up. Some people the very next day.
If you think
the enemy knows you. But you see right here something, he asked for Peter. Why? Because Peter's one of the great ones. I'm just kind of reading. He's always the loud spoken one. He's always the outgoing. He's always the first to jump up. And we're gonna see Peter's life. It crumbles. But then boy, when he comes, we're gonna get to it. I don't want to go too far ahead. Oh boy. In the verge of overthrow, Satan asked for you to shift you as wheat. He said, I have prayed for you. How often is that?
That your belief not fail.
That your belief should not fail. Why? Because Satan wants to overthrow your belief. He said, but I prayed for you that you should not fail, that your belief should not fail, and when you have turned, strengthen your brother. What you mean when you have turned? I thought he was saved. He was following the master. He was with him every day. What you mean right here when you've turned? That was interesting. That caught my attention. Turn or converted. It means to convert. It's G1994. Epistrophe. To turn to transliberty. To turn to the worship of the true God, to the love and obedience of Yehovah, to the love for the children, to love wisdom and righteousness. This is what he's telling you. When you've turned, I mean, you know, that comes to the point in life, we have to turn. But to put away false idols, we have to put away whoring, we have to put away things strange, fooling around with blood that Yaakov told. We get warned about these things. We just read a little while ago in some of the wording and the definition. We read it. We have to turn. We know in Hebrew, we know what that means. That's Teshuvah.
Teshuvah.
I think I had it. There's so much information in here.
Teshuvah.
I thought I knew I had wrote down, but just make sure and check my notes. Oh yeah. That was Psalms 8:6-6. It's where we get the root word shuv, H7725. Sometimes when I'm studying, I think I'm writing it down. In my mind, I'm writing it, but I guess it's not moving. My hand's not moving. All right. Let's keep on going. It says, and when you have turned, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Master, I am prepared to go with you both to prison and to death. You see how Peter was? I'm ready. Okay? You know Yeshua was going to check that. He's making a covenant right here. He's telling Yeshua, we know about covenant. You make that vow, you pay it. And you tell him, I'm with you. until you have denied three times that you know me. Yeshua was letting them know. Let's go to, skip on down to 54. And having seized him, they led him and brought him to the house of the high priest. And Caiaphas was found at a distance. And when they had lit a fire in the midst of the courtyard, they sat down together. Caiaphas sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "And this one was with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Look at these words. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Caiaphas said, "Man, I am not." At that time, you know, you can see his blood pressure, I'm sure, rising. And about an hour later, another insisted, saying, "Truly, this one was with him too, for he is a Galilean too." But Caiaphas said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. And the master turned and looked at Caiaphas. Now, can you imagine? He is turning and looking at you. After you just said, after we just said, "We're with you." You get the stare down. Get the eyes of the master upon you. I can't imagine how Peter felt at that moment. But the scripture says, and Caiaphas remembered the word of the master. How he had said to him, "Before a cock crows, you shall deny me three times." And Caiaphas went out and wept bitterly. That word right there, if he remembered the word, it's logos. It's G3004. No, it's 3056 is where we get the word Lego, 3004. I'm sorry. And it's the word that has been already written. Let me explain it to you. Because we're going to jump over to the next reading, and then we'll get the same narrative, the same story. And when it says the word of the master, you're going to see that again. But that word is going to mean rhema. So they use two different words, and one in Matthew and one in Luke. So I didn't know that. So that makes you got to go back and check your homework. Because the rhema is the word direct, fresh, out of the present, like the best I can explain it. But the logos is word that's already there that he remembered. And you think he remembered when the master looked at him? They had just told him, "You won't deny me. But I want you to go to the grave. I want you to go to prison, master." He made that covenant vow. He told him that. Let's look at Matthew's account. Let's see how he put that. In Matthew 26. Starting at verse 69. And Caiaphas sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "And you were with Yeshua of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you say." And as he was going out into the porch, another girl saw him and said to those there, "And this one was with Yeshua of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." With an oath. A lot of these words that you know you're going to hear, you're going to see that we had all this already. This should ring bells every time we read it. We should automatically know. And after a while, verse 73, and after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Caiaphas, "Truly, you're one of them too, for even your speech gives you away." How many of you know what up? Sometimes when I'm on the boat, they know there's something different. Because your speech gives you away. The way you look gives you away. The guy came up, I told you, I said it a while back. The guy came up and said, "You look like a Jew. One of them Jews." That's how we should be looking. That's how we should be acting. Is to be and look like him. But you're going to go through stuff. Look at verse 74. He began to curse and to swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately I thought, well, look, I don't know any Jewish or Hebrew curse words. Here we go. He began to swear and to curse. I don't know. In English? Oh, my goodness. We don't even go there. But here we are. That's why Yeshua told us. I wonder why Yeshua, when you have when you've converted, strengthen your brother. This is no surprise what happened here. These words to Yeshua. We might think it's a surprise, but it was no surprise. Because he told us this was going to happen. And to swear and to curse that I'm doing. And he remembered the words of Yeshua, who had said to him, before a cock crows, you shall deny me three times. And going out, he wept bitterly. And you see right there, remember the word? That's that rhema. That's the word, that's where we get the rhema word. And I thought yes, it's G4487. That which is or have been uttered by the living voice, word, things spoken. Any sound produced by the voice and having definite meaning, speech, discourse, what one has said, all these meanings when you go to them, there's so many. I couldn't even write them off. I tried to screenshot them, and I think that's why I get lost and all that. Man, that story really touched me when I went to look at the words and what we learned about words in Devarim. But how many of you know Yeshua's not done with Peter yet? Nor is he done with any of us.
That's right.
We see, right. You know, if you stop right there, it ends on a sad note. But we're going to see something here. Let's go to John. Chapter 21. Verse 1. And after this, Yeshua manifested himself again to the taught one at the Sea of Kinnereth. And he manifested this way. Shimon Kepha. Ain't Kepha, he's all over in the scriptures. We're going to learn a lot from Kepha tonight. I can tell you that. And Toma, called the twin, and Nathanael of Kenat in Galil, sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his taught ones were together. Shimon Kepha said to them, I'm going to fish. That goes to flesh mentality. That's what we refer back to. But that's what we know. Our master's dead. Even though he appeared to them before, and he tells them, but this is what he do. He goes back to fish. And they said to him, we are also coming with you. And they went out and immediately entered into the boat. And that night they caught none at all. We've seen this story before. How many of us fishermen? We've been out there all night. Many times you come in empty. You don't stop. There's no difference in hearing the word. Just because you might feel like you're empty, you don't stop. You keep going. But when it became early morning, Yeshua stood on the beach. However, the taught ones did not know that it was him, that it was Yeshua. And Yeshua said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. Now you see these fishermen, I was thinking about that. Anytime you work all night and somebody can just holler at you, hey, you catching anything? You ain't fishing far off the shoreline. That was some of the fishing I did in my time. Let me tell you. You get, as long as I could see the light, I was good. You don't go where the light goes. So I thought just a little comical right here. You should walk in the beacon. Hey, children, y'all caught anything? Come on, man. You ain't really launched out there for. Children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, throw the net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find. So they threw, and they were no longer able to draw them because of a large number of fish. Now, can you imagine working all night long? Then here comes the master on the beach. Throw your net on the right side. Now, what is this guy talking about? Did he see something? Did we miss? Because these are pro guys that are fishing. And then somebody tell them, just throw your net out here? I'm really wondering what's going through their mind after all night. Because I know me, if I worked all night, something like that, my eyes would bloodshot, somebody, yeah, he ain't going back out. No. Oh, boy. And the taught one, whom Yeshua loved, said to Kepha, it is the master. You think he recognized? Because you know this has happened before.
It's the mast.
And he said to them, and the tall one whom Yeshua loved said to Kepha, it is the master. Then Shimon Kepha, hearing that it was the master, put on his outer garment, for he was stripped and plunged into the sea. And the other tall ones came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging their nets with fish. Now look at that. I think that's only like 300 feet. So it wasn't far off. So when they had come to land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish lay on it, and bread. Now, ain't that like Yeshua to do something like that? Bring fish
and bread.
And bread and coal to fire. He was just walking. Where did he get this stuff? Some of these little things when you read in the scripture, it really catches your attention. And he would do stuff like this for these guys. Yeshua said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Kepha went up and dragged a net to the land filled with 153 big fishes, and though there were so many, the net was not broken. Now, I was looking at that 153. And if you want to know anything about that, I can promise you, you got to go way left of Matthew. So I didn't put any in my notes. But it goes back, all the way back to Solomon, what I can find. So to say that we don't need Torah, or we don't need to study any of this, you're not going to know what he's talking about right now, this 150. You don't go back and do homework. Yeshua said to them, come have breakfast. And not one of the tall ones had the courage to ask him who you are, knowing that it was the master. Who else can do these kind of miracles? Yeshua came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the same with the fish. Now this was now the third time Yeshua was manifested to his taught ones after he was raised from the dead. When therefore they had eaten breakfast, Yeshua said to Simon Kepha, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And what a question I believe that he's asking to us in the time and age in which we live. Do we love him more than me? Is that a lot of things that we have in our lives that's causing stumbling blocks to us? And sometimes we need to go back and really go back and check ourselves.
That's right.
See, do we really love him more than me? Notice his words. The people, like I said, we say that we follow him. We say that we love him. He said to him, "Yes, Master, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." And you know, some of us are lambs.
That's right.
And we need feeding. And where else are you going to get it? It's not outside, that's for sure. You have to be in the house to be fed. But that's what Yeshua said. You got to go where Moshe is being read on Shabbat every week.
Yep.
That's where you get fed.
Acts 15.
He said to him again, the second time, "Shimon, son of Yonah, do you love me?" Can you imagine Yeshua coming? Can you hear these words he's asking you? Do you love me a second time? He said to him, "Yes, Master, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep."
Shepherd.
You're going to have a job to do. You and I have jobs. It's not just our job to wear, we got to pay bills. This is not what he's talking about. He said to him the third time, "Shimon, son of Yonah, do you love me?" We see that parallel a lot. But three times he denied him. Now Yeshua is putting him in check. "Do you love me? Are you saying who you say you are? Are you going to stand up and stay with him in the trial when things get tough? Are you going to be the one that's going to make commitment? Because he's coming for you, remember? He's coming for your children." You know, this morning, I got ready this morning before I started reading. I got my coffee. I didn't even put my coffee on. I just got dressed and I started praying. I said, "You know, Lord, help me to do better. Be better." And then before I ended, I said, "Remember our children." I said, "Save our children." And I don't know about you, but me, I have lost children.
Yes.
And I said, we have, and I know y'all do too. Some of y'all do. We have lost children. We have lost grandchildren. And I even said, great-grandchildren. I don't even have none. You know why? Because the scripture said to the third and fourth generation. That was my prayer. I said, "Remember our great-grandchildren. Father, remember, for they know not what they do." I've heard these words before. He said to him the third time, "Shimon, son of Yonah, do you love me?" Kepha was sad. Because he asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Master, you know all. You know that I love you." Yeshua said to him, "Feed my sheep." The song years ago, my cousin was singing about it at the time. I think it was my brother's favorite song. She used to sing, "Feed my sheep." That was the song. You remember? I'm not singing it tonight, though. We'll save it for some other time. Oh, but it was these words. He said, "If you really love me, feed my sheep." That was the song. Oh, boy. "And truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you stretch out your hand, and another shall gird you and bring you where you do not wish." Let me tell you something. You're going to be in a spot where you wish you wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got you there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's not going to always be pleasant. You just said right here, you're not going to wish. You have to notice his words carefully. This is what Devarim teaches. You think, Did this come out of the Torah portion? Yeah. If you really want to dig into it, he'll teach you. If you're listening, if you put the time in, if you're obedient, that's what he had. Do you love me? If you love me, this is where he's going to lead you. "But when you are old, you shall stretch out your hand, and another shall gird you and bring you where you do not wish." It's not easy. Never said it was easy. When we got on this journey, Pastor Dow, I never heard about that one. "No, it's easy. Hey, go right ahead. We're going to fly through this." No, that's never been the case. We've seen the hand of the enemy try, but we haven't seen the hand of Yehovah also.
Every time.
Now he said, now he says, signifying by what death he would esteem Elohim. And having said this, He said to him, follow me. That's what it takes. It takes your obedience, but you have to follow him in everything. And where is he going to lead you? Where you don't want to go. You sure don't always, you ever seen him on the easy road, on the smooth road. We never seen Caleb, give me this mountain. It wasn't the easiest mountain. This mountain was the biggest giants on. This was the one he wanted. And Kepha, turning around, saw the call with whom Yeshua loved, following. Wow. Who also had leaned on his breast at supper and said, Master, who is the one who is delivering you up? We know what happened in that story. He's leaning on the breath of Yeshua. Man, can you imagine that moment? Seeing him, Kepha said to Yeshua, but Master, what about this one? When you get to that point, it's like he's not even getting it. What about this one? Why are you worried about the next one when it's being folded directly to you? Every message that comes through here, it's not for over here or not for this side or for the people in the middle. It's for you directly.
Mm-hmm.
It's for all of us. You know, look at the next man and say, well, what about this one? This is what Peter's doing. Yeshua said to him, if I wish him to remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Despite of what's going on, you follow him. If your husband ain't here, you follow him. If your wife ain't here, you follow him. You've been commanded. Look, it's tough. It really is. This is the part we're talking about where the word changed. This word went out among the brothers that the taught one would not die. However, Yeshua didn't say to him that he would not die. He said, if I desire him to remain until I come, what is that to you? We have to pay attention to his words, what he's saying. That's how we can just get just like that quick, got it twisted. What do you mean he's not going to die? Sure, yeah, I can see Yeshua. I ain't said that. And there's people that act that way. Look, remember that one situation that one time? When it was a post a while back. I know you heard me say it, I'm going to bring it up anyway. When the post came out, it was on there, that the heaven to gain and the hell to avoid. I said, Yeshua never said that. He said, well, how do you know? I said, well, I never read that. So he goes in the comment back, well, I never said he said that, but you posted it. You saying it. If he never said that, why say something he never said? Why? So that's putting words in his mouth. You lying on him.
Lies.
What is that to you? This is a tall one who bears witness about these matters and wrote these matters. And we know that his witness is true. And there is much else that Yeshua did. If every one of them were written down, I think that the world itself would not contain the written books. Amen.
Amen.
That's a lot of things that Yeshua said and done that, look, that we don't even know about. But we just take what we have and your plate's full. If we just take the time to sit down there and look at carefully what he's talking about. But the point he was trying to get across, you follow me. No matter what goes on, you follow me. And we're going to see that and we're going to go to it. We're going to see how Peter's life changed. Wow. Big time. Why do I miss some stuff? I'm going back and look at my notes. I'm going to go back and listen to myself tonight. I'm like, oh man, I forgot to say that right here. Because I want to get it all in. That's the point. That's what I'm trying to do. Let's look at Acts 2. Let's go to let's start at verse 14. Let's look at, I'm not here to pick on Peter tonight, but he was always, like I said, a leader in his club, in his gang. And what we learn about leader, pick men at your own tribe, pick the lead. We've learned about all these things. Well, that's what Peter was. This was his spot. He was always next to the master. And the master, you know, he's going to check. You will be checked. You will be put to the spot to the test. The master will test you. But Kepha, This is right after the outpouring, the set apart spirit. How do you know we, the spirit of truth, what we learned over the weekend, how we needed that. Man. He said, but Kepha, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, men of Yehuda and all those dwelling in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen closely to my words. Oh, I tell you, it's so powerful what he has to say. And we're going to read it. So what do we learn about the words? For these men are not drunk, as you imagine, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, says Elohim, that I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And also on my male servant and on my female servant, I shall pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and splendid day of Yehovah. What a day that's going to be. Now, we read this, and I don't know if some of y'all Bible like that, but mine's all in black, like in bold letters. So you know this is not New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to go? If it's spoken by the prophet Joel, where do you think you got to go?
After Matthew.
Oh, that's great. You know, that's a splendid day, man. There's going to be some people, they don't want to see this day. They're going to cry. It's going to be rocks fall on us. But then they know. What a day that's going to be. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yehovah shall be saved. Oh, what a mercy there. Men of Israel, hear these words, Yeshua of Nazareth. You think Peter not? You talk about converted? You talk about turned? He strengthened his brother right here.
Amen.
And we see that. Why? Because he's speaking the word of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. He ain't speaking his own word. He's not thinking fleshly anymore. Something happened to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the right track. He ain't worried about, well, what about this one? We're going to see that. Men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man from Elohim, having been pointed out to you by mighty works and wonders and signs which Elohim did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. This one, given up by the set purpose and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have impaled and put to death through the hands of lawless men. Him, Elohim, raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was impossible that he could be held in his grip. For Dawid says concerning him, I saw Jehovah before me continually, because he is at my right hand, in order that I should not be shaken. For this reason, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad, and now my flesh shall also rest in expectation. What is that expectation? That hope? That he knows that when his time runs out, he has that hope. This is what he's talking about. He had that expectation that his flesh one day will rest. That's no different for any of us. We have that same hope, that same expectation in him. Because you shall not leave my being in Sheol, nor shall you give your loving committed one to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You shall fill me with joy in your presence. Men and brothers, let me speak boldly to you of our ancestor Dawid, that he died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being a prophet then, and knowing that Elohim had sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, to raise the Messiah to sit on his throne. Foreseeing this, he spoke concerning the resurrection of Messiah, that his being was neither left in Sheol, nor did his flesh see corruption. Elohim has raised up this Yeshua, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of Elohim, and having received from the Father the promise of the set-apart Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Well, can you imagine what was going on in that upper room at that time? For Dawi did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, Yehovah said to my master, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that Elohim has made this Yeshua, whom you impale, both master and Messiah. And having heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Kepha and the rest of the embassy, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Kepha said to them, repent, and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, for the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the set-apart Spirit. For this promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as Yehovah, our Elohim, shall call. I mean, you know, when I read that, when it says to those who are far off, well, we were far off.
Mm.
We included in this. That set-apart Spirit is still here for us today, if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it. It's not only for you, it's for our children. How awesome is that?
Mm-hmm.
And with many other words, he earnestly witnessed and urged them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. Boy, I tell you what, it's corrupted out there.
Yeah.
It really is. Then those indeed who gladly received his word were immersed, and on that day, about 3,000 beings were added to them. What a message. What a life change from Peter. From swearing and cursing, I don't know the man, being whoever he was at that time. He said, but when you've turned, when you've converted, you strengthen your brothers. And he's commissioned Peter. And boy, let me tell you, his life goes, he does wonderful things. Look, even where his shadow would just pass by, he would just pass, would be healed. What an anointing upon his life. Well, it's no different for you and I today. We can have that same anointing. This was just so powerful. As I read, you know, when I'm going through this, it gets me excited when I read through it. Now look at the word thing that he's saying and how he's repeating what the master said. And what do we do here? We say the same thing. We repeat what the master said. We go back in our Torah portion and we look at each and every word that when we read through the slides or wherever we're reading from, whatever chapter we get on. There's so much word that we can learn from. And look, we've been getting so much word here. These past over years, we are well seasoned. We got no excuses. We should always be prepared, because you never know what you're going to face the next day. Sometimes, some of us, maybe that night. We have to be always on guard. Because why? The adversary is. Scripture says he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not your friend, I can tell you that. Because look at here, because we know that. The way he did, he's acting for Peter. Because he wants to sift him as wheat. I go back and look at some of them videos. You can see what the sifting, you don't know. I remember, look, some of y'all might still have it today. I remember the old style sifter. You put it in, I would throw it for a little toy when I was a kid. I could play with that tiny little bag and do the sound of me. When you see grandma had that in the kitchen for her flour. And you see some other stuff at a video. So this was some great stuff. Let's go to slide 151. Men who are known. The Hebrew word that's translated known here in verse 13, look, it's just, you have to read all of it and catch up to me where you have to. If I'm jumping around on you, that means you got to go back and catch up on your reading. Here in verse 13, for known men come from the root word yada, Strong's 3045, which means to know, to acknowledge, clearly understand, to perceive, distinguish, and discern. This verb can also render the ability to know by experience, and while we recognize that Yehovah certainly knows all things, we also realize that in terms of Yehovah's knowing those who take refuge in him, or that he knows those who are his, there is a deeper intimacy being expressed by the clear experience of a faithful and fruitful relationship between the Creator and his created beings, who follow and adhere to his clear prescribed way for functioning as they should by being faithfully obedient to his instruction for living set apart lives unto him. That was such an important slide when I got to it. Because trust me, he knows you. He knows you better than what you know yourself. He should. Well, I mean, I say he should. He knows you because he created you. You're his creation. And we owe him our all for what he has done for us. In Timotheus Bates, 2 Timothy 2:19, however, the solid foundation of Elohim stands firm, having the seal, Yehovah knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Messiah turn away from unrighteousness. And you know we have to turn away from something. As much as sometimes our flesh pushes us in that area, we have to be strong enough to say, you know, that's not what I am anymore. That's not what I'm about. And look, once you start making a stand, people will start recognizing. They'll start knowing. They'll say you won't be challenged by it. But you'll know how, when you're in that situation, you know better how to handle yourself. I can tell you. We're going to look at some here just a minute. Let me finish reading this. Men who are known are people who have a good report with others, as Shaul instructs Timotheus on the qualification of men who desire to be overseers in 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. And in verse 7, he says that overseers should have a good witness from those who are outside, not in here. This was very important too. So if the world doesn't recognize you as a change in you, maybe you haven't changed. Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
That's right.
Because you're acting just like them.
That's right.
So that should be a difference in your life. They should be able to see that we're not Scott ain't the same anymore. At one time, he knew a lot of them curse words. And he would say them too. It didn't matter who was around. That's not who we are anymore. We shouldn't. We better not be. Not that we ain't gonna be pleased. Let's go to Ezekiel. Let's look at the seal on the side, how he knows who are his. Ezekiel chapter 20. I'm going to take it from the top. And it came to be in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth of the new moon. And you know that's a time thing. That certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire and sat before inquire of Yehovah and sat before me. And the word of Yehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the master Yehovah, have you come to inquire of me? They were coming for the wrong reason. It's one thing to go before him in humility, but when you demand something from him, you got issues. As I live, I am not being required of by you, declared the master Yehovah. Judge them, son of man. Judge them. Make known to them the abomination of their fathers.
Judge them.
Boy, you hear that in the church world today? You judging me? Oh, don't judge me. If you're in the house and you're identifying yourself with me, and if we're out somewhere and you're doing something that's inappropriate, I might want to put you in check or ask you a question. Don't be offended. Don't think that I'm judging because the word, he says, judge them, son of man. Make them know their abomination of their fathers. And you shall say to them, thus says the Master Yehovah. Who's doing the speaking here? This ain't Scott's word tonight. He's the Master. I'm going to repeat what he says. On the day when I chose Israel and lifted my hand in an oath to the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Mizraim, I lifted my hand in an oath to them saying, I am Yehovah your Elohim. Where is Yehovah, brother? Right back in Mizraim when we first started this journey. That's what this chapter is about. And such a great chapter. Even Yehovah made an oath. He said, "When I have no higher power, swore by myself." On that day, I lifted my hand and oath to them to bring them out of the land of Mizraim into a land that I have searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the splendid of all land. Boy, this chapter brought me right back. As I was sitting down on my couch, I drank 2 cups of coffee that morning. To sit there and read this chapter and just relax. And just listen, let the words speak to you. And your thought process should, you know, think. I think myself at that time. Maybe that's why I missed some of my notes sometimes. And I said to them, each one of you, throw away the abomination which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Mizraim. I am Yehovah your Elohim. I mean, with some of us, we still got them idols of Mizraim. Yeah. He said, do away with them. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. All of them did not throw away the abomination which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Mizraim. So I resolved to pour out my wrath on them to complete my displeasure against them in the midst of the land of Mizraim. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the eyes of the nation among whom they were, before whose eyes I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Mizraim. This chapter goes right back. And what we just had in Devarim? It just goes back and tells the story almost all over again. Mm-hmm. This is what this chapter does. Because he tells, put away the idols, but they didn't listen. And we read that many times, they didn't listen. And what happened? They laid low. And then this is the first generation. So we're going to get to the second one here too. They're all in here. He said, but I acted for my name's sake, that I should not be profaned. And why? What did Moshe tell him? Master, if you destroy him, they're going to talk about you. Back in Mizraim, they're going to say, he brought him out, but he couldn't bring him out all the way. They're going to say that about you. This is what he said. I acted for my name's sake, that I should not be profaned before the eyes of the nations among whom they were, for whose eyes I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Mizraim. So I took them out of the land of Mizraim and brought them where? Somebody help me.
In the wilderness.
Wow.
Wilderness census.
Ain't that where we're at? Ain't that where we just went through? Now we're on the other side of the world. We're about to get to the promised land. It's coming. Oh, we're so close. I heard a brother today said, it was so funny. He drew the rapture in there. He said, well, we're so close to the rapture. He said, I don't even buy green bananas. I can't believe how close we are. We're probably like, oh boy. I had to think about that for a second. Oh boy. So I took them out of the land of Mizraim and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my laws and showed them my right ruling, which if a man does them, he shall live by them. What are we teaching every week? Obey the laws, guard the command. Why? Because we're going to live by
the word. They're foolish.
We're going to follow them. Oh, how amazing this chapter is.
Oh, man. foolishness.
You shall live by them. And I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign. What did I just read in Timothy? To be a sign between them and me, to know that I am Jehovah who sets them apart. I'm so glad I'm set apart. He gave us the Sabbath. Because look, when the Sabbath gets here, when Friday night gets here, I am so glad. I know sometimes, look, y'all please forgive me, because sometimes I'm on the road coming from wherever. When you see that Shabbat morning, I'm here. I can't wait till it gets here. I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
For that day, I can come here and receive from him. Because trust me, I need it.
Man.
And that is one of his signs. How amazing is that? But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my laws, and they rejected my right rulings, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Why is God repeating himself? Is he forgetting what he's saying? And they greatly profaned my Sabbath. When I read that part, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Greatly profaned. Not better than profaning. Now he's expressing himself even more. How they greatly profaned it. And I said I would pour my wrath out of them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, not to profane it before the nation before whose eyes I have brought them out. And I myself also lifted my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, not to bring them into the land which I have given them, flowing with milk and honey, the splendid of all land, because they rejected my right rulings and did not walk in my laws, and they profaned my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols. So if you think that you can just, you want to waltz right into this kingdom, you got nothing to do. As fast as you waltz in, you'll waltz right back out. But, matter of fact, he said in the scripture, if you don't pay attention, you won't even see the kingdom. This is what Yeshua said. If we don't pay attention, if we don't obey his Sabbath, when he calls for his set appointed time, if we don't follow his law, let's not kid ourselves. If we don't follow his law and his right ruling and his way, you don't make it. I don't make it. Does it matter if you sit under our pastor? Does it matter where you sit at? No matter what side of the church you sit on? Doesn't matter to him. If you don't obey, you don't make it. That's just point blank.
Individual.
And that's what he's saying. Because your heart went after other idols. You didn't put him first. And he tells you that. My eye parted them from destroying them. And I did not make an end of them in the wilderness. And I said to their children, why? He did not make an end. Because why? Out of 600,000, only two of them made it. Out of the whole company, Caleb and Joshua.
Hallelujah.
And I said to their children in the wilderness, is he going to say something different? Let's go check his word. Let's look closely at Jehovah's word. Let's go see if he tells our children anything different. And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the laws of your fathers, nor observe their rulings, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am Jehovah your Elohim. Walk in my laws and guard my right rulings and do them and set apart my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you to know that I am Jehovah your Elohim. Same word he spoke to you and me is the same word he speaks to our children. Doesn't change. Jehovah doesn't change. We change. So we need to go back and check ourselves. Look at our lives. I had a poem from my last, about a minute last time. It talks about the dash. I don't know if y'all ever heard that. It's a funeral poem. Really sad. It's talking about the little dash between the time you were born and from the time that's your lifespan. That's it. I know on the tombstone, it's a straight line. But is it really straight? I bet you that would be mine, and you couldn't even draw a line. When I go back and look at my dash, if I go back and look at it, ain't no way it's a straight line. But on the tombstone, it's all straight. But is it really? But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my laws and my right ruling. They did not guard to do them. Which if a man does, he shall live by it. God's repeating himself. He's letting him know, if you do anything, you're going to live. That's just point blank. They profaned my Sabbath. So I reserved to pour out my wrath on them to complete my displeasure against them in the wilderness. But I held back my hand and acted for my name's sake, not to profane it before the eyes of the nation, before whose eyes I had brought them out. Also I myself lifted my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness to scatter them among the nation and disperse them throughout the land. Now when I read that part right there, I think about all of us today.
Where we are today.
We're dispersed throughout all the land. We don't even know who we are. We think we're somebody. We think we're whatever nationality or whatever you think who you are, but you're really not. You just, because I just read a little while ago to the house of Yaakov. Didn't I tell you a while back, or a good while back, Yaakov's your daddy. That's where it comes from. We dispersed throughout the other land. We don't know who we are. We really don't. Our DNA, we're going to trace back so far. But I can promise you, it ain't who to say it is. I'm so glad at least he spared us. Spared our lives. Dispersed, we might have dispersed it. But now what is he doing? He said, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to spread my wings over you to cover you and keep you, to guard you. But you have to abide by my laws, my right rulings, that if a man does them, he's going to live by them. These are his words. Because they had not done my right ruling, verse 24, and they rejected my law, and they profaned my Sabbath, and their eyes were on their father's idols. Look, he mentioned idols. And what was one of Yaakov in the New Testament? He said, abstain from these idols. You got to put them away. The same thing Jehovah is saying. So nothing has changed. We're just not paying attention to what he's saying. And I also gave them up to laws that were not good and right rulings by which they would not live. And I defiled them by their own gifts as they passed all their firstborn through the fire so that I might shun them. So that they know that I am Jehovah. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, and you shall say to them, thus says the Master Jehovah, is this your father? In this your father has further reviled me by committing trespasses against me. When I brought them into the land for which I had lifted my hand in an oath to give them, and they saw the high hills and all the thick trees, they slaughtered their slaughtering, and there they provoked me with their offerings there. And they set up their sweet fragrance there, and poured out their drink offerings there. And I said to them, what is this high place to which you go? So its name is called High Place to this day. I remember looking at it, but I didn't write it down. But when you lifted up your gifts and make your sons pass through the fire, you defiled yourself with all your idols, even to this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, as I live, declares the Master Jehovah? I am not being inquired of by you. He's letting you know. When you come before him, you're not demanding anything from him. We need to learn to humble ourselves before him. You don't inquire him because you need answers. Why? Not about why. Why? Because he said so. That's the why. And what comes up in your spirit shall never be. When you say, let us be like the nation, like the tribe and other lands, serving wood and stone. And we've seen what happened when they did these things. As I live, declares the Master Jehovah, did not I, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out, reign over you? And I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the land where you are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out. Look, that great and splendid day, I believe, that's going to come. Look, he's going to deliver you. He's going to be true to his word. And look, you can hold him to it. And I shall bring you into the wilderness of the people, and shall enter into judgment with you face to face there. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness, in the land of Mishraim, so I shall enter into judgment with you, declares the Master, Yehovah. And I shall make you pass under the rod, and shall bring you into the bond of the covenant. And this, as I was looking at this rod, I didn't write it down, but when I went to it, he said, when he said, there's some definition in there, when he talked about the rod, and we know who the rod is. It ain't a rod like a stick, like a switch that we think of. They do have that definition, but they don't. They also talk about a rod, a righteous branch that's going to come. So this definition about a rod goes really deep. I'm sorry to write it down. It's just, I get lost in all this reading sometimes. I know when I look at the time, I told my wife, man, I got to go. I didn't pack my lunch or nothing yet. I'm running late here. And I shall make you pass into the rod, and shall bring you into the bond of the covenant, and purge the rebel from among you, and those who trespass against me. From the land where they sojourn, I bring them out. But they shall not come into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Jehovah. He does fight for us. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Master Yehovah, go, serve each one of you his idol. And afterward, if you will not listen to me, but do not profane my set-apart name anymore with your gifts and your idol. Look, if you want to leave, leave. And don't try to profane him. Because your fight is not with us. Your fight is not with me. He's telling you, if you want to leave, leave. Go ahead. Do your own thing. But don't take his name and saying, well, and using it in a way that he never said.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, well, yeah, I'm a part of this, when you're not. You said, do not profane my set apart name. That's a warning. That's what we read from the definition. For on my set apart mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, declares the Master Yehovah, there all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, shall serve me. And I shall accept them, and there I shall require your offering and the first fruit of your offerings, together with all your set-apart gifts. I mean, you know, those who are paying attention, those who are obeying, you're gonna do these things. You're gonna put aside your offering for him. What's required of you, what was required by everyone before us, they had to bring these offerings. They had to pay their tithes. They had to pay gifts. This is what he's saying. If you follow his method, and you'll be blessed by it. It's not a burden. And a sweet fragrance.
Sweet smell.
I shall accept you. What? Mm-hmm. A sweet fragrance.
Sweet fragrance.
When I bring you out from the peoples, and I shall gather you out of the land where you have been scattered, and I shall be set apart in you before the nations.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you're looking just like it more and more.
Amen.
And you shall know that I am Jehovah when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the land of which I lifted up my hand in an oath to give you. How many times have you read that? He lifted hand in an oath to promise you. His promise is for us. But we have to be willing and obedient. And there you shall remember your ways and all your deeds which you were defiled. And you shall loathe yourself in your own sight because of all the evil that you did. And you look, I don't forget where I come from. One thing I don't forget where I come from.
Amen.
But that's behind. But you're going to remember those days. You will. But you move on. You press forward. That's what the scripture says. You move on. And you shall know that I am Jehovah when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Master Jehovah. And the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the south, and drop word against the south, and prophesy against the forest land, the south. And you shall say to the forest of the south, Hear the word of Yehovah. That's what we should be doing. We're not in the south. I know it might be a different direction, but we're not in the south.
That's it.
We got to hear the word of Yehovah. That's what really matters. Thus says the master Yehovah, see, I'm killing a fire in you. It shall devour every green tree and every dry tree in you. The blazing flame is not quenched, and it shall burn all faces from the south to the north. And all flesh shall see that I, Yehovah, have kindled it. It is not quenched. And I said, ah, Master Yehovah, they are saying of me, is he not speaking parables? You think what he's saying ain't going to come to pass? Mm-hmm. We better pay close attention to his word. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. I'm going to burn up the TV tonight, boy. We have to pay attention to his word. When you come to his house, regardless of who's speaking, pay attention. Mm-hmm. Because it's for you. It's for every one of us. And it's for your children and for your children's children. Like I said, that was my prayer this morning. Yehovah, save our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, good Lord. For not, what he said, not like your fathers. Don't do like they done. You can do better. We should be better. Amen?